9 o'clock hour, fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Oh, Aiden's not doing it. Oh, no, you can't do it now. That's too late.
I think it was my fault because I was telling him to adjust. I told him I was standing, so he was adjusting the camera.
Oh, does he need two hands to do that?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
He does, actually.
Aiden? Bobby, shut up. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Bobby Bell, and Peyton is giving the thumbs up that we have friend of the show, the baseball electricity, a former baseball general manager, Steve Phillips, on the home of the Rangers. Rangers have got going after the All-Star break, and they'll get going with the Atlanta Braves tonight on this station with a 6:30 pregame, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
Have you changed your opinion on the Rangers after the All-Star break?
You know, I kept thinking they have a run in them, and because I think their offense is better than what they've shown. So, yeah, I believe that they were going to make a run and that they'd have a shot to get into it. And it's just been such a weird year for them because they've not hit when I think we all thought one of the things they would do would be to hit. And their bullpen has been better than I think any of us would have anticipated, considering that, you know, they didn't make any big moves in the bullpen. And so, it's been an interesting year for them, and I don't know really what to expect, but, you know, I do like the track record of some of the players there that makes me believe that they do have a run to try to get back to the playoffs.
Steve, since June 7th, they're number one in baseball in runs per game. It's like 5.4. You know, that's not nothing. It's over a month. It's almost a month and a half. Like, how long do you go before you change your perception on what your team is this late in the season?
Yeah, I think I think you just have to go with it. If it's changing, that's enough of a track record for me to say, you know what, we're finding our stride right now. We're catching our stride. We're going to get back into this thing and make a run. And so, and plus, you know, with DeGrom and Eovaldi, you've got two guys who really, you know, give you a chance every time they go out there to compete to win a game and a real chance to win those games. And so, you know, I think that. You know, I would still keep an open mind. I thought Naylor would have been a good fit for them at first base. But, you know, they didn't go that direction with it. I think they're going to try to get some pitching still. But I do expect Chris Young to be very aggressive here at the deadline.
Steve, when you were making decisions nearing a deadline, let's say you were kind of on the fence about, you know, buying, selling, or holding, and I guess how you're familiar with other general managers approaching it, when there are a number of buyers and not many sellers like it feels like right now, would that ever help push you in the direction of we might be able to take advantage of the number of buyers?
Yeah, I think that obviously supply and demand matters. Economics 101, it's real. It's real when it comes to money and the economy, and it's real in baseball. And so I do think that if you're a seller and you've got a bunch of buyers out there, it's a pretty good place to be. And yet, on the other hand, when there aren't that many sellers out there, then I think as a buyer, you know that if you get a player, it's a game of keep away. It means you got them and the other team didn't, and they're not going to get a guy that's as good as what you got in a deal. And so you're looking for third base. If you get Eugenio Suarez, you got by far the best third baseman anybody's going to get. And if you're competing with somebody else who needs the same thing you do, when you get the better player, you get the benefit of that guy to help your team, but also the ability to keep that player from going to your closest competition.
Former Mets GM Steve Phillips hosts his daily show, The Leadoff Spot, every morning on SiriusXM's MLB Network radio channel and on MLB Network, and he joins us now on Sean and RJ. You mentioned that you thought Naylor would have been a good fit for Texas. He obviously got moved. Is there anybody else you look out there on the trade market right now and you say, man, that pairing, that guy with the Rangers would be a really good fit for them and help push them forward?
Yeah, so like Ryan Helsley would be a good fit at the end of the game. I think that I want to get a proven closer at the end of the game if I can. And so a guy like Helsley would be a great acquisition for him. Honestly, Nathaniel Lowe wouldn't be the worst guy to bring back to play first base if you're looking for somebody to do that. I think Suarez can also play first base, but I think they need to be in the pitching market, whether it's a Merrill Kelly or somebody like that. I would think they should jump in and get, it doesn't have to be the ace, but you need a third predictable guy to be in. And I want some experience in it too, to be part of it. That's where I would look to do it. I think with Chris Young being a former pitcher himself, I think his priority, he's going to look to prioritize, I think, getting some pitching here at the deadline.
So you would absolutely lean into the run prevention as opposed to maybe going for the offense if you had to pick the one?
I you know, where do you play the guy is really the thing. Uh-huh. And, you know, if with Naylor off the board at first base, you know, then it comes down to who are you sitting on your team to be able to you know, get the, you know, the playing time in. And so that's really the question I have. And so you could look for somebody, I guess, first base, but you know, I think Lowe's the one guy, and I'm not sure that that's my priority. I'd rather get pitching for it. And in the end, you can add a bat, but if your good hitters don't hit, it's not going to be enough, right? And I've been in positions like that. Like, I can go get somebody, but if our good players don't play well, then we're not going anywhere. And I think that's really got to be the emphasis, that if that lineup doesn't hit, they're not going to win. And so, but adding one guy, not necessarily going to spark everybody else. I think they just need to get fixed within, and then I think focus more on the pitching.
Steve Phillips showing us here, 105.3. The Fan. Have you seen the American League as wide open as it is right now, like in the last 20 years?
No, it is really wide open. Listen, the National League has so many better teams than the American League does. It just does. I look at all of the talented teams in the National League, and I think in the American League, there's some good teams, but you know, they're not as powerful, or you know, they're winning games. But I look at the Detroit Tigers, and I'm still trying to figure out how the heck they do it. I know they did it. You know, it's so unconventional that it makes you think that it can't keep going because nobody does it that way. And yet they've been able to make it work, although they've hit the skids now, losing 10 of 11. I think the American League is wide open. I really do. I think that you know, once everybody gets into the playoffs, I think they all have a pretty decent chance of advancing.
Steve, you know, when we look at the AL West right now, and you know, you mentioned the Naylor trade and Seattle making a move like that, does that, when you're in tight quarters like that, does that force you anymore, or does it get you itching a little more to start picking up the phone when somebody does make a move within the division, or do you have to just view things kind of in a vacuum on your own and how your own team looks?
No, it's hard. Listen, you're human. It's hard not to feel the pressure of doing something when your closest competition has done something. And I'll tell you, the idea of, you know, what it feels like is, if you've ever sat in a car in a traffic jam and you sort of look down, but you feel like all of a sudden you feel like you're rolling backwards. And then you look out and realize, well, you're not rolling backwards. You're really at a stop, but the cars next to you are rolling forward, but it gives you the feeling of that you're moving backwards. That's what it feels like at the deadline when the teams around you make deals. It doesn't feel like you're staying the same and they're getting better. It makes you feel like you're getting worse. That's the feeling, the illusion that you get when that is the case. And so there's been years where teams said, oh, we're just going to stand with what we have. We don't want to disrupt the chemistry. I'm like, no. You need to do something. Doesn't have to be big, but you have to do something so it doesn't feel like you're rolling backwards.
Steve, are you getting the feeling or hearing that this is it for Bochy?
I'm wondering if it is. It feels like it might be that, you know, he's, you know, going to give it the 3-year run and see what happens with it. So, I mean, we don't know for sure. I mean, he hasn't said, and I certainly haven't heard from him about it, but I wouldn't be shocked if this is the final year. He came back for 3, and he's going to make one last hurrah to be able to get there. But, you know, and it would be a shame because he's very good at what he does.
Let me put the Rangers in the playoffs and ask you the follow-up. With DeGrom and Eovaldi, give me where you put the Rangers of the teams you want to see in the postseason in the American League. You can be honest and say, I still want them. They can't score enough. They don't have the bullpen. Like, who else are you... Who else would you rather not face than the Rangers with those two in the rotation?
Right. You know, Seattle's got the young guns there too, the Logan Gilberts and Brian Woos that are pretty good to be able to compete against. You know, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, pretty good matchup right there. And you've got, you know, an experience factor. But again, I think DeGrom is, when healthy, is one of the best pitchers in baseball still. One of the best. But so is Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. Those two guys have carried the load there. You know, Fried and Rodon is, you know, Rodon worries me for the Yankees. I don't think he's that good. And the Blue Jays, you know, the Blue Jays have Gausman and Barrios and they got Chris Bassett, but I like the other starting pitchers better. But I think the Blue Jays don't have the best starter or the best closer, but 1 through 12, they throw a lot of quality innings. But in the playoffs, with the extra off days, you're able to just throw your elite pitchers more, which I think disadvantages the Blue Jays a little bit more. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that you know, looking at Texas with the dynamic duo at the front of the rotation, they are a scary team and maybe the scariest of teams to match up in the postseason in the American League.
You mentioned Toronto. They got a pretty average run differential, like not great. Does that scare you about them? And would you say them or maybe Detroit would be the team that you would kind of question the most going into the postseason?
Yeah, I would question Detroit more than Toronto. Toronto's got veteran pitchers who they got off to a little bit of a slow start. I think they have like 29-30 come from behind wins already this year, where their starters don't throw clunkers, but they might give up a little bit early. But then they, you know, a good bullpen doesn't just hold the lead, it holds the deficit. And so their bullpen, their middle relief comes in and they shut down the opposition, allowing the offense to come back. And so I'd say right now, I would probably give the Blue Jays the advantage over the Tigers and over the Astros as far as ranking the teams in the American League. I still think the Yankees are a very good team and they're going to get better at the deadline as well. But I think Toronto has really proven themselves to be one of the best teams in all of baseball, certainly one of the best teams in the American League.
Will there be a move, either a trade or a managerial firing, in the next couple of weeks that's gonna make you say whoa, like not necessarily a Luka type trade, but a really kind of a shocker at this deadline?
Yeah, I think we're gonna see Dylan Cease get traded away from San Diego, who's buying. They're buying, but they may trade away Dylan Cease. And I think you may see a lot of teams buying and selling, or, you know, sellers like Arizona is going to trade away, you know, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly and Suarez and they trade away Naylor. But I think they should also buy. This is a window to get access to players with some controllability. So if a Joe Ryan's available, I think there are a lot of teams who are sellers, but who also think that they're going to try to win next year, that'll jump in and try to make a trade for a guy like Joe Kelly. So I think you're going to see teams doing both buying and selling, robbing Peter to pay Paul to create major league depth, but also trading away prospects to get controllability of players for the future, even if they're not currently a playoff team.
Steve, have you heard any big name Rangers being floated out there?
Yeah, I heard DeGrom's gone. You guys all right?
Hey, I floated it myself.
Yeah. No, I've heard people say if Rangers fall out of it, should they trade DeGrom? I personally think that they're going to try to keep winning, and I think DeGrom got an oil change in his elbow, and he's good for another 5,000 miles. So I don't hear any big moves away from Texas. And the question is, how big will they play? You know, were they in on a Naylor? The Red Sox were in on Naylor, looking for first base. But, they got two pitchers from Seattle and made the deal in a preemptive strike. But I haven't heard a lot of big names necessarily yet. I've heard a lot of speculation around bullpen help for them and end of the game help for them. And, I don't know yet whether Class A is going to move. I know they've had him before. But Class A may be a guy that gets moved, and I would consider it if I'm Cleveland just because of what I think I might get in the return in this year's closers market and the controllability through the 2028 season.
Steve, we love having you on as always, man. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Enjoy the trade deadline. It's going to be fun.